Let me tell you about Marcus. He's 38, good at his job, proud of what he's built. And he'll tell you, if you ask, that he doesn't really need anybody. He takes care of his own problems. He doesn't lean on people. He's nobody's burden. He's been carrying that story for a long time, and it fits him well enough that he's never looked too hard at the back of it. The back of it looks like this. There is no one he'd call at 2 in the morning. There is no one who'd show up if he really went down. There is one friend from his 20s he barely talks to, a few work people he call colleagues, a family he sees at holidays. He is, by his own measure, doing fine, and by almost any other measure, he is quietly alone. The story Marcus is living isn't unusual. It might be the single most common story we sell to men in this country. The lone wolf, the self-made man, the one who stands on his own. This show is about that story. Where it came from, what it costs, and what the other option actually looks like for a man who still has his dignity fully intact. First, let's be fair to the story, because it did not come from nowhere. The lone wolf ideal. The man who handles his own problems, who doesn't whine, who builds something out of nothing, that came out of a real value. Self-reliance is a real virtue. Toughness is a real virtue. A man who takes care of himself and doesn't make himself everyone's problem? That's not wrong. The story was built on something real. The trouble is, what got added to it over time? The part that says needing people is weak, that asking for help is failure, that a man who leans on anyone has somehow lost. That part got layered on top of the real virtues quietly until most men can't separate the two. You can be tough and still have a crew. You can be self-reliant and still have someone to call. Those are not opposites. The lone wolf story turned them into opposites, and that move, that invisible swap, is where the damage starts. Marcus didn't choose isolation as a goal. He just accepted a story that came with it, baked in. So what does Marcus actually pay for carrying the story? Because we're not talking about feelings here. We're talking about something harder and more concrete than that. Start with what we know about men and friendship. Research has found that men's friendships drop off sharply in their 30s and 40s, not because they want to be alone, but because the structure that used to hold friendships together, teams, school, service, a shared place, disappears. And they were never taught to build those bonds on purpose, without the ready-made frame. By the time a man is 40, he often has no one he'd actually call a close friend. He might have a spouse, if he's lucky, and the marriage is good. Otherwise, he's running on fumes of old connection that never gets filled back up. And then there's the body. A solid body of research has found that being cut off from people over time is genuinely rough on health. Not just mood, but the whole body. The kind of rough that doctors take seriously. This isn't a soft claim about feelings. The body keeps score on isolation the same way it keeps score on other real risks. Marcus isn't just missing out on something nice. He is, without knowing it, paying a real price. In his health, in his odds, in who shows up when things go wrong. And things always go wrong eventually. Now, here's the part that tends to stop men cold when they hear it, because we pick the wolf as the symbol, the lone wolf. The solitary apex hunter, the animal above it all, and the actual wolf? A wolf on its own in the wild usually struggles. Wolves hunt in packs because that's how they catch anything worth eating. The coordinated approach, the roles, the ones who drive, and the ones who cut off escape. A lone wolf can take a rabbit. A pack can take an elk. The lone wolf in the wild isn't the king of the mountain. It's the one that got separated from injury, from a fight, from being pushed out, and is now doing the best it can on its own, which is much less than what the pack can do together. The image we borrowed for our strongest man ideal is actually an image of an animal in trouble. That's not an insult to Marcus. He didn't pick the symbol. Someone handed it to him. But it's worth knowing what it actually means, because the truth of the wolf points straight at the truth of men. Our real strength has always come from the pack, the crew, the unit. Not despite connection, but because of it. So if the lone wolf story is wrong, what's the right picture? Because I want to be very clear about what I'm not saying. I am not saying Marcus should go sit in a circle and talk about his feelings. I am not saying he should need everyone, or lean on people who haven't earned it, or drop his standards and let any warm body call itself his brother. None of that. A clan, a crew, a band of brothers, call it what fits you, is a small group of people who have proven themselves to each other over time. People who show up, people who've got your back in a real way, not just in words. People you'd go to the wall for, and who'd come to yours. That's not soft. That's one of the oldest and toughest things a man can build. The samurai who operated alone, the Ronin, he was a warrior without a lord, without a home base, without a crew to hold his flank. Dangerous, yes, but also exposed in ways that eventually caught up with every one of them. The clan is not the opposite of strength. The clan is where strength compounds. One man's skills plus another man's judgment plus a third man's network equals something none of them could build alone. All right, I can already hear the version of this pushback that Marcus would raise, because it's the real one, not the obvious one. It's not, I like being alone. It's something more honest than that. It's, I've tried. People let you down. You show up for them, and they don't show up for you. You get close to someone and they disappear when you need them. I've been burned. I stopped trusting because trusting cost me. And that's not weakness talking, that's experience. That's a man who has actually been let down, maybe more than once, and decided the math doesn't work out in favor of trying again. I am not going to tell that man he's wrong. He's not wrong about what happened. He's right. Some people don't show up. Some people take and disappear. Some friendships are one-way wells dressed up to look like something real. He's right about all of that. What I want to offer him is this. The answer to bad wood in the fire is not to stop building fires. It's to get better at reading wood. The clan is not built on trust given out cheap. It's built slowly, on proof, on people who showed up once, so you let them in a little more, and they showed up again. Not faith in people in general. Evidence about these people built up over time. That's how the Ronin becomes the man with a crew worth having. Let me bring in something from a long way back here, because this isn't new. People who study how men have lived and worked across many different places and times keep finding the same pattern. Men don't usually build bonds face to face, the way the usual advice says to do it. They build bonds side by side, doing something together with a shared purpose in a shared challenge. The hunt, the build, the game, the job, the unit. Men have always found their people through doing, not through talking about finding their people. And what that tells us is something important about the lone wolf story. The story isn't that men are bad at connection. Men are very good at connection, under the right conditions. The conditions are a shared task, a real challenge, skin in the game together. Remove those conditions, and the bond-building machinery that's been there all along has nothing to run on. So the man who says he has no real friends isn't broken. He's a guy whose bonding conditions disappeared, his team, his unit, his crew, and nobody gave him a way to rebuild them. That's not a character flaw, it's a missing frame. So what does the jar look like when it lives inside a crew, a real band of men? Because the jar isn't only for neighborhoods and nurses. It runs everywhere, people are connected, including in the groups of men who figured this out on purpose. Here's what it looks like. Darius is a contractor. His back went out for 3 weeks, and three guys from his crew showed up on their days off and kept his jobs running without being asked. They didn't keep score. They knew he'd do the same. A year earlier, he'd been the one who helped one of them move on short notice, no charge, just showed up. The flow went around. Nobody tracked it like a ledger. They just understood that when one of them is down, the others carry him, and it'll go the other way around eventually, and it always does. That's the jar. It lives in every real crew, every real unit, every close group of men who've been through something together. The things that go in are small, the hour of help, the straight truth when a friend needs it, and not just agreement. The connection made on someone else's behalf, the showing up when it's inconvenient. And none of them has to be the one who gives everything, because that's the whole point of the jar. It's not on one man to fill it. It's on everyone to keep something moving. So let's bring this back to Marcus, and let's bring it back to you, because the second this stays abstract, it's useless. Marcus isn't alone because he's broken or because he chose badly. He's alone because the structure that used to hold men together around him disappeared, and he took the lone wolf story as the only explanation available and kept walking with it. The structure is gone. The story is wrong. But Marcus is still there, and he's still capable of building something if he knows what he's building toward. So here are three real questions to hold for a minute. First, who in your life right now has shown up more than once? Not in words, in action, when it cost them something. Even one person. That's the beginning. Second, what shared task could you build around? A project, a game, a commitment to something real. Something where you're side by side, facing the same direction, with skin in the game. That's the frame that grows the bond. And third, where in your life are you still running the lone wolf story in a way that's keeping the right people out? Not the people who don't deserve to be in, keeping out the ones who might actually show up if you let them. So here's your one thing this week, and it's small on purpose, because the lone wolf story didn't get built in a week, and neither does the crew. You don't need to call someone and say, "I want to build a brotherhood." Nobody does that. What you can do is pick one person who has shown up for you at least once, in action, not just words, and do one thing for them that they didn't ask for. Not a big thing, a useful thing. The hand that comes without being called is the beginning of a jar. Maybe you pass along a name they need. Maybe you show up for something they've got going on. Maybe you do the work on something they're stuck on for an hour for free just because you can, and they do the same. Put one thing in. No announcement, no ledger, just one thing moving in the right direction. And if there's some Marcus in you, and I think there is in most of us, let one true thing out too. Tell one person what's actually hard right now, not a vent session, one true sentence. Because the jar only works if it goes both ways, and a man who can only give but never lets anything back in has built a wall with a flag on it and called it a fort. A fort isn't a clan. Open the gate 1 inch. That's the weak. So that's where we start with the lone wolf myth. The story sounds strong, but the wolf on his own is the one in trouble. The one whose real strength is sitting unused because he walked away from the pack that multiplies it. The lone wolf isn't the villain. He's a man who got handed a bad story, in a world that took away the ready-made frames that used to make the clan obvious. The question isn't what's wrong with him. The question is whether he'll build what the world stopped handing him, and it starts smaller than he thinks. One thing in for someone who showed up. One true sentence out to someone who's earned it. That's not a circle. That's not a therapy session. That's the beginning of a crew. Next time, we go deeper on what the clan actually costs to build. Because the second hardest thing, after the lone wolf story, is the part nobody talks about. What happens when you start and it feels awkward and slow and you wonder if it's worth it? Bring your real question. We'll take it seriously. Watched over, as always, by Daisy. I'll see you there.